by praying for you today, acknowledging the Lord in all thy ways, that he might direct your path, that he might be there for you in your time of troubles, your time of difficulties, your time of situations where you don't seem to know who to turn to, where to turn sometimes. But Jesus has let us know he's always there. He's there waiting on us, waiting for us to come to him, to bring every problem, to bring every situation, to bring everything, bring every matter, to bring anything that you're dealing with unto him. And you have to come to him but to trust and believe in him, believing that he will do just what he says. We want to pray with you today for whatever that is. We pray that in this prayer that you have the faith and belief, trusting and allowing God to do all he can do for you in your life. You may have lost a loved one. You may have lost a family member. You may have lost a friend. Whatever the case may be, there may be sickness. There may be disease. There may be famine. It may just be a lack of finances. Whatever that difficulty is, you may be confused for who you are or what your identity is. But Jesus is here to help you. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man would open up and let me in, I'll come in and sup with him." We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. We give him glory. We give him praise. We give him thanksgiving. We magnify his name. We magnify his name. We thank him for everything that he's done and everything that he's doing. We want to give him thanksgiving. Come on, let's pray today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you right now for what you've done and what you're doing. We give you praise. We give you thanksgiving right now for all you've already done. We thank you for what you are doing right now. We praise you right now, Father. We thank you for the blessings, the things that you have allowed to happen in our lives, whether it be good or bad. You're still a great God. Father, we need you right now in the most desperate times of our lives. We need you to come in and bring a breakthrough in our lives from addiction, from sickness, from loss, from confusion, for comfortness of being alone, or maybe even being lost, or maybe even that we've lost a loved one and we're sad. Don't know how to deal with it. Don't know which way to go. Don't know what to do. But it come that we might turn to you. We thank you right now. We thank you, Lord, that we let your presence by your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus would come in and give us a breakthrough. Give us that stability, Father, to believe that we have the confidence that in your word have already been spoken to us, that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened us. When we don't try to rely on our own strength, our own mindsets, or live in our own self-righteousness. But when we humble ourselves and turn to you, Father, you will work a miracle in our life. We thank you right now. Somebody is being hard-hearted, stiff-necked. Someone maybe even have lost their faith. Somebody maybe even have backslid. Father, somebody may have lost a loved one and blaming you for the loved one that is gone right now. But we know that you are just God. And we know that everything that you do, you have a purpose. Father, we thank you at any rate, at any time, anyhow. We thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you through the difficulties. Thank you through the sickness. Thank you through the loss. Thank you through the misunderstanding. Thank you, Father, even when we can't even call out or reach up and call your name. Thank you right now. Thank you for all you've done. And thank you for all you are doing. Thank you for all what you're going to do right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Send the healing and deliverance to somebody at home, somebody at house, somebody at residence, wherever they may be, in the hospital, in the nursing home, in the incarcerated facility, Father, in all the medical facilities, in the psychiatric facility, in every place, everywhere, all every area, all over the world, Father. Whether they be rich or poor, Father, we thank you right now. Touch, let them know that they may be reminded that you are God, and you are God all by yourself. There's no other power, nowhere they can get it from. No help, no healing, no deliverance can come from no one but you, Jesus. So we thank you right now, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done. We thank you for what you're doing. Bless your holy name right now. And Father, I ask you, Father, that you be with me right today, Father, and speak through me. And that your people will hear your voice through my voice, Father. And that I would humble myself to adhere to you, that you would use me today. We thank you. We praise you. We lift you up. We magnify your holy name in Jesus' name. We give you glory. We give you praise. We say amen. We say amen. We say hallelujah. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for everything. We thank you for all things and all you're doing and everything that you're going to do. We bless your holy name. We're going to make ready to break the bread of life. But we're going to briefly worship the Lord, give him glory, give him thanksgiving, give him his due, give him for what he, for all the things he's done for us. Let's give back to him for what he's doing right now. Not only what he's doing, but what he's going to do. It's time that we realize that we are the sacrifices that need to be given now. Like he gave his life, we need to give ours to him. We need to commit to him, turn unto him, and let him work in our lives. When we can do that, then miracles will be performed. Things will happen. Change will happen. Progress would move forward. Blessings would spread among us. We would be abundantly blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that as we come to hear a message today, we want to give ourselves to you, Lord. Give ourselves to you. That we make sure that you know what you already know. That we understand that our lives belong to you. Our lives are in your hand. We give you glory. Your desire, Father. We give you praise, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't somebody want to give yourself to him today? Don't you want to give yourself to him today? I mean, if you're looking for change in your life, if you're looking for movement, you're looking for prosperity, you're looking for growth, this is what you must do. If you're looking for healing, if you're looking for deliverance, if you're looking for a miracle to be performed in your life, this is what you must do. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you're going, where you've been. Doesn't matter who you are, what you're doing right now. But you ought to tell him to take your heart and take your life as that living sacrifice right now. Now this is an opportunity to offer yourself to Jesus as you receive his word today. This is a chance to make a step forward, not backwards. To move in and under the grace of God. by the power of His Holy Spirit, that it may come in your life. Come in your life and break down, tear down whatever bondage, whatever yoke that's holding you bound, got you bound, got you confused, got you lost, got you messed up, got you misunderstood. Lord, have mercy. We need you right now. But we got to give ourselves to you so you can use us. We were born to be used by God, to praise Him, to lift Him up, to glorify His name. You ought to be in worship with your eyes closed, your hands lifted right now. Meditating on Him right now and saying those words, you give yourself away to Him right now. Give yourself. See, in order to be receptive of His word, you got to give yourself. You got to yield yourself to Him so that you can adhere to the word of the true and living God. Let Him work on you. Let Him work in you. Let Him work for you. Let Him work through you. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Because there's going to come a time you won't be able to do that. Recognize that your life doesn't belong to you. Created us to give Him glory. Can't you hear that? Can't you understand? It's, your life is not your own. No matter what you're doing, what you accomplish, it's not your own life. It belongs to Jesus. Don't you want to give yourself to Him today? It's an opportunity to step to the altar, to admit, to submit, for ask Him to come into your life today, right now, to change the things in your life, to change your ways, your thought process, the way you see things, the way you understand things, so that the Holy Spirit may come in, live with you, work with you, walk with you, comfort you, teach you, guide you, and direct you. Your life doesn't belong to you. You ought to be ready to say that right there. Your life is not your own. Give yourself to Him today. Give yourself to Him today. Offer that supreme sacrifice, your life. He gave His life for you. Why can't you give yours back to Him? You don't own it anyhow. You can't control it by yourself. Father, we thank you. We thank you right now, Jesus. We praise you forevermore, that we offer ourselves to you, that we might be receptive of your word right now. That's about to be spoken in the name of Jesus. We give you glory in Jesus' name right now. Amen, amen, amen. Good morning, good morning. We're ready to break the bread of life, to share the word of God in your life, for your life, through your life, that it will bless you on today. Amen, amen, amen. Good morning again, friends and family and all that are listening. Amen. We thank you today. Turn into your Bible. Let me bring your attention to the book of Revelation in chapter 20. Amen. 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 Chapter 20. Amen. Amen. We're still dealing with a little bit of the just God, but we want to bring it to you on a whole nother level as well. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, I believe. Amen. Yes. Verse 12. And he says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books." I want to stop there. I'm going to give some more, but I'm going to stop there. The book will be open. Not just one book, the books. The writer, John, says the books were open in the day of judgment here. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Everything that has been recorded, everything that has been brought to written in evidence of what you have done in your life or whatever has transpired in your life. The books will be open. The mainly book that we're concerned about both, but the book of life. The book of life, if your name is not written in that book, you will not be able to go home to live with Jesus. This is what the Bible says. He said again, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. See there? And the books were open. They're standing there. In other words, God have awakened the dead. They're standing in the day of judgment. Standing in the day of judgment, going to have to pay the penalty for the deeds that are done in these old bodies. Let me give you something to think about today. The one thing that most people fail to understand, they think or they feel like they are here to live, to enjoy life to the fullest until the end. But enjoying life to the fullest until the end for our own purpose and reason is self-righteousness. The Bible allows us to understand that God created us to give him glory, to give him praise, to magnify his name. And when we can do that, that means it strips us of self-righteousness, or arrogance, or pride. It brings us to a level of humility, of understanding. We live in a world today that is so self-righteous. It's so into doing what they want to do. It's so in the middle of the way they want things done. And yet, failing to understand that they don't even know the ins and outs of what they are facing. Meaning they can't even see the future. We don't know the future. Don't know what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, where it's going to happen. But we got these pre-plans in our lives for things that we want to do or we expect that we're going to get done and don't know if we're going to live to see the next day or not. But the one thing that we're going to have to deal with in the end, in all of the things that we've done, in all the things that we've practiced, in all the things that we've gone through, in all the luxury or the enjoyment or the pleasures that we have delved or indebted ourselves into, going to have to pay a penalty if you haven't repented and asked for forgiveness of those things that are not according to God's command. And every person, every individual is going to have to face this. The dead is. The dead and small, great, no matter who they are, whether they poor, whether they're rich, whether they're famous, whether they have the highest authority, whether they're millionaires or billionaires, if they haven't repented, you're going to have to answer a question. You're going to have to pay the price for the deeds done in these bodies. We know that the Bible tells us, in the book of Matthew, I believe, let me get there and read something to you. I could tell you right away, but I want to read it as well. Just for your sake to know that these things that I'm ministering to you are not something I made up. Amen. So here in the book of Matthew, hallelujah, In chapter 16, verse 26 tells me this. It says, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with angels. And then he will reward each person according to what he has done. Always remember to what you have done. He said, I tell you the truth, some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. But what I want you to pay attention to here is, right here it says, whoever, or what good would it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? What good would it be? What good to gain all the pleasure? What good to gain all the enjoyment, all the riches and glory of this world, of this life, of this time, and still go to every beautiful place in the world, every vacation resort in the world? I'm not saying there's something wrong with going there, but I'm saying when these things become more of a priority than giving the Lord his glory, than giving the Lord his due, than giving the Lord his thanksgiving. And when we prioritize those things more than the things that the Lord has commanded, to love him first, to love him with everything we got, all we got, all our strength, all our might, and all our minds, then we're setting ourselves up for destruction. Now, you heard me read that even then he said, everyone will be paid according to the works that he has done. Everyone. So if you haven't done anything, if you haven't built anything, if you haven't done anything that for God to get the glory for the building of his kingdom, the upbuilding of his kingdom, then your record is not going to look too well unless you hurry up and change right away. And that means like today. In Isaiah chapter 66, let me back up, 61, I believe. 61, in Isaiah 61. 61 and verse 8 says something like this here. He wants you to understand that the word of God is true, and it's sharp and it's powerful than any double-edged sword that had ever been made or ever will be made. But in Isaiah 61 and 8, he says this here in this verse. He says, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them that make an everlasting covenant with them. You hear that? He will make a covenant with you when you do what he says. Let me read that again. For I, the Lord, this is what he says. I, the Lord, love justice. He's a just God. I hate robbery and iniquity, that's sin. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. The agreement that he's already made that he will allow us to have eternal life if we decide to. But if we don't want eternal life, the Bible also tells us that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We just shared it in what we just said. The wages of sin is death. Now we're reading here in Revelation that there's going to come a time that the dead, even the dead, great and small, is going to have to pay the penalty. But now the wages of sin is death, but death represents the torments and torture of what you will receive if you do not obey his command. It doesn't matter how much you accomplish. I mean, it doesn't matter how much you come to go about your everyday routine today. It doesn't matter how much you try to ignore what I'm saying. It doesn't matter how you try to throw it to the side, put it off and all that. But I'm telling you what the Bible says, the day is coming. That day is coming. Amen. That day is coming. And watch what it says in Revelation. Going back to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 13. Watch this here. And he says, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and hell, which is Hades, delivered, and death and hell delivered up the dead to who were in them. That means who died in sin and in the punishment of hell. Hell, death, and hell represent the torments and torture of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Which is not going to be enough. The punishment, that's not going to be enough for punishment. Then he says here, as he continued to say, he says, let me go back and restart again. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Each one according to his work. Then, here it is. Then death and hell, Hades, were cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire. This judgment thing has steps to it, and phases and processes. The first process is you dying, leaving this life to be ready for the next. Hell is the next step of preparing you for the lake of fire. Good God Almighty. As if that wasn't enough, good God Almighty. This is the second death. And he says, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Was, will be, shall be cast into the lake of fire. Don't you understand? Doesn't matter about how much you accomplish in this life. Doesn't matter how much materialistic thing you obtain. If God is not getting the glory, if it doesn't glorify him in the upbuilding of his kingdom, the gift that God has given each person were to be given to you to glorify him. Not for our own personal reasons. Not for our own personal comfort. No. Matter of fact, we were born or birthed or created to come in this world not for our own selves. We were created and built in this world to give God the glory for his supreme omnipotence of who he is. His omnipresence and his omniscience. The all-power, the all-knowing God. So how can you fake? How can you get away from a God that knows everything, that sees everything, that understands all things? You can't get away. There's no way out for you. There's no way out. So most of the time, people spend 90% of the time, people spend all their lives chasing money and pleasures. That's what they spend time chasing. When do you spend time searching and seeking for Jesus? How much time do you put in seeking him? Trying to build and establish a relationship. Did your phone and social media get more time than prayer? Did it get more time than praise? Huh? Most of the time, yes. They've got all types of social media. People spend more time looking at their phone. They have a new God. It's the telephone. It's the cell phones. And it doesn't have to be your God. It can be a tool for you to learn more about Jesus. It can be a tool that you can gain to magnify the Lord for the upbuilding of his kingdom. But for some reason, people rather feed their own soul, their own self-righteousness. But Isaiah says this in chapter 30 and verse 18. He says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. You see, even in our ignorance, even in our stupidity, even in a not glorifying God, he's still looking for ways to be graceful to us. How to allow us opportunity. Don't you know God is a God that he could do anything at any given time. But for his grace and mercy to always be there, that compassion that he has for us. And he's allowing us to get a second chance. Matter of fact, not only the second chance now, I would go so far as to say, after Jesus came and lived and died, that was our second chance. But when grace and mercy continue to allow us to live each day over and over again, that's our third chance. That means we're in the final stages of our opportunity if we don't get it right now. If we don't get it right while we're living in this dressing room of life, this dressing room of the time that we live in right now is where we should be getting it together before we leave this world and go to the next place. But oh no, oh no, hearts and minds are pleasure, enjoy, materialistic glamour, flashiness, and impressing others. Why don't you impress God by praising Him? Why don't you impress Him by glorifying His name? Why don't you impress Him by lifting up His kingdom? Why don't you impress Him by building His kingdom, upbuilding of the kingdom of God? It's sad that we are selfish and we become self-righteous in our own eyes. But Isaiah said something else in chapter 66, verse 24. He says this, "And they will go out and look upon the dead, the bodies of whose, the bodies of those who rebelled against me. Their worm will not die, nor will their fire be quenched, and they will be loathsome to all mankind." This is the destruction of man. Let me go back up to 22 so that this may make sense to you. Amen. In Isaiah 66 and verse 22. "As the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your name and descendants endure." Now these are the ones that are obedience to God. "For from one new moon to another, from the Sabbath to another, all mankind will come and bow down before me, says the Lord." Did you hear that? Let me read 23 again. That's Isaiah 66 and 23. See, I'm giving you this information so you can go back and look at it yourself. Amen. He said, "From one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, all mankind will come and bow down before me, says the Lord." See, sooner or later, you're going to have to bow down. You're going to have to bow down. It would be in your best interest if you would do it now. "And they will go out and look upon the dead bodies of those who rebelled against me. Their worm will not die, nor will their fire be quenched. And they will be loathsome to all mankind." Man, the worms of the soul that will be lost won't even die. Lord, have mercy. Going to have to pay a penalty. Going to pay a penalty for the works and the deeds that is done in these bodies. Done in these bodies. We've got to remember, we got to remind ourselves that we're not beyond being chastised. The Lord is just, He's a disciplined God. I said this to you last week. He's not just a God that gives and glorifies and heals and lift up and magnify and blesses and all that. He's a God of justice. He's a God of punishment. He's a God of discipline. Yes, discipline is in His arsenal. Yes. Correction is in His arsenal. Yes. Yes. Yes, it is. When are we gonna wake up and find out? God is just not a God just always looking for to just give us stuff when we need it or when we want it or when we desire it. That's how most people look at God. Look at Jesus. Lord, give me this. Lord, bless me with this. Lord, help me with that. When do we ever decide to give to Him? When do you ever come into your prayer, "Lord, I bow before you to give my life to you, to praise you for the things you've already done and doing in my life, to praise you for the things that you allow me to do every day in my life." In the Psalmist chapter 9, verse 7 and verse 8, I want to read. "The Lord reigns forever. He has established His throne for judgment." Here's the big thing that I'm talking about now. Verse 8. He will judge the world in righteousness, and he will govern the peoples with justice. Hallelujah. He will govern the peoples with justice. I told you he's a just God. He will judge the world in righteousness. No one will be able to escape his judgment. No one. No one will be able to escape. It doesn't matter what country you live in. I don't care what other side of this planet Earth that you live on. He's such a powerful and enormous God that he has the whole world in his hand, and he sees and he knows everyone, and he knows everything about every person, every individual, everyone that has been born and everyone that hasn't been born, and everyone that will be born, and everyone that will be taken away from him. He knows everything. Somehow the adversary have creeped into the churches, creeped into the homes, creeped into the minds of the people, and caused them to lose their trust in the Lord. Yeah, I know a lot of you saying, yeah, I trust the Lord. Yeah, with your mouth. The Bible says you say a lot of good things with your mouth, but where is your heart? Where is your heart? Where is your heart? Let me ask you a question. When it comes to sin, which one do you have a problem with? The outward sin where people can see you, see everything you do, or the inward sin where only God knows you've done, or what you've done or what you're doing? You see, there's two ways of it. It's the outside and on the inside. And a lot of people, they do good at hiding on the outside. But what about the inside? What about in that heart, that hate, that bitterness, that unforgiveness? Huh? What about that racism, that temperance? What about taking people's lives for no reason, that anger, that rage, that fits of anger? All of that on the inside. And then sooner or later, when someone says something or does something and causes you to snap and blow up and take their lives away, now you just cause another major problem with your life. If you don't hurry up and get forgiveness of that sin, repent and ask the Lord to come in and cover you, your life is going to be taken as well. What makes people think that you can just go up and just take people's lives and nothing happen to you? Or what makes people think that they can just tear down people and brutalize them and destroy them and take their lives and there's nothing supposed to happen to them? They're supposed to go free for no reason. Just get away with whatever the wretched evil that they've done. We've just spoken to you, and we began speaking this to you, that all of the evil and all of the deeds done in this body is going to have to pay if you don't repent. Just talking to you today. Hallelujah. Several of the book to the book of Colossians. I'm talking to you today. That scripture is alive in Revelation 20. This is the great white throne of judgment. Judgment. And it's coming. It's coming. We are in the times. We're in the difficult times. We're in the chaotic times. We're in the last and even day of perilous times. Now, if you can't see that, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong. And we see it, and we're not making anything urgent about doing anything about it. I'm talking about reaching out to lost souls. I'm talking about repenting and asking for forgiveness. I'm talking about turning away from the ways of living of unrighteousness. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 25. Here's what he says. Rules for the Christian household and also rules for everyday living. But this final verse in that chapter, 3 verse 25 says, he says, and anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong. And there is no favoritism. No favoritism. It begins in verse 18, talking about the rules of the household and how we should live. It tells us, beginning in verse 18, it says, wives, submit to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. Now, husband, that don't mean you're a slave driver, you treat her wrong, abuse her, and make her do anything. He said, wives, submit to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. And then he said, husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. Do not be harsh with them. They're not your slaves. They're not your children. You can't raise them. They can't raise you. Love goes both ways, through submissiveness and through caring of the husband. Love your wives. And if you love them like you love yourself, and most people love themselves, I believe, I think, amen, then love your wives and love others. And children, verse 20. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Are you listening here? Children, obey your parents in everything, not some things, everything, for this pleases the Lord. Children, that means when they tell you to do something, stop questioning them. Why? You got to do it. What for? If there wasn't a reason for you doing it, it would have never told you. These are conductive things that we need to live by that are not being practiced anymore. Hallelujah. Verse 21 says, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Embitter them. Verse 22 says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it, not only when their eyes is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Reverence for the Lord. So whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. This is how you go to work. You go to work for the reason of working for the Lord, meaning preparing or carrying out your duties for the Lord because you're looking for the reward to come from him, not so much as the one that has you employed. And I know your goal, you're looking at the benefactor of the financial part of it. But guess what? When you do this in the way that the Lord said, the benefit factor will be plus and more if you do it his way. You see, we've been trying to do it our ways. This is why we have the problems that we have. This is why we might even be having a problem with our financial stabilities, because we're not doing things as we should be doing them. Hallelujah. Whatever you do, work with all your heart as working for the Lord, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And that's what you are, Christians. Isn't that what you say? You said you are serving the Lord, Christians. You say you're Christ-like, believers, born-again people. All of the above categories. You say you love the Lord and then all of that stuff, but yet do the opposite things? No, it can't add up that way. Amen. So those things are what brings us. And the whole chapter is rules for holy living in chapter 3. Go back and read it in your spare time. But that 25th verse is what lines up with everything that we're talking about today and everything and how we should do this. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid, will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. No, he ain't leaving nobody out. Nobody is going to be left out. That's in the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 25. Another scripture we want to leave with you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, 2 Thessalonians. Hallelujah. Yeah, I just want to talk to you this morning. I want to share a word with you this morning. I want you to get God's word, capture his word. His word, not my word, his word. His words are the one that's going to save you. His word is the one that will deliver you. His word is the one that will heal you. His word is the one that will bring blessings in your life. His word is the one that can change your life if you so desire. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, he says, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a just God. This is a just God. I'm going to back up to verse 5. No, let me back up to verse 3. In 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 3. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. This is what we're supposed to do here, brothers in Christ. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecution and trials you are enduring. In other words, you're going to have some issues when you're talking about standing for Jesus. But he says in verse 5 here, all this is evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. This is when you do the will of God, for which you are suffering. Verse 6, here's my evidence that I was telling you that God is just. He says, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled. I said that again. And to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. Here's verse 8 from that I read before. He will punish those who do not know God. Wait a minute. Do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believe our testimony to you. Hallelujah. When you stay in connection, when you stay in practice with the Lord, there is a reward. There is a reward. But I want to remind you in the book of Revelation again. Death and Hades, hell, were cast into the lake of fire. This is where the books will be open. They will be open. They will be open. No matter how big or small they are, how great they are. And I saw dead, small and great, standing before God. Everyone going to stand before him. Everyone going to stand before him. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. What I want to leave with you is the Lord is recording everything you do and say. Everything
you do and say. Everything you do and say.
No matter what it is, no matter how big or small it is. No matter if it's just you're thinking it. No matter if you're playing games with it, if you plant that seed, it's coming up again. If you plant that seed, you're going to see it again. If you plant that seed of hate, bitterness, racist, murdering, rage, unforgiveness, how can you have unforgiveness in your heart and expect the Lord to forgive you? You see, there are things that the Lord have already spoken that won't even allow him to work on your behalf. You can block all of the covering and the blessing of the healing and deliverance. That's why, you know what, that's why I believe there's so much sickness in the land, because people have blocked the healing power of God because of the thing that has transpired in their lives, and they won't even let go of it. And they expect God to heal them. And they haven't let go whatever they're holding on the inside. It's sad that you got to hold on to something, but you want to be healed and delivered at the same time, but you won't let go what's hurting you anyway. It's time to let go. If you carry that thing to the grave believing this, the books will be open. The book's going to be open on the day of judgment, and they're going to be brought back to your mindset and memory. And you're going to get paid according to the works and the deeds that are done in the body. Drinking, smoking, whoremongering, fornicating, all of the meanness and bitterness that you're holding on to, if it don't get cleared up and covered by the love and the grace and mercy of God, you're going to have to pay. You're going to have to pay. We're going to pray for you as we close. Father, help us today. Help us to understand that you're a real God, and you're just God, and you're a loving God. And it's because of your love that you're giving us a chance right now. It's because of your love that you're sending messengers like we're hearing today to remind us it's time to turn. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we give you the glory. Touch right now by your Holy Spirit. Help us to open our eyes and realize that your word is right and it's true. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We give you the glory, give you the praise. In Jesus' name, we glorify you. We thank you. We say amen and amen. Amen. God bless you. May the heavens and the peace of God be with you. Selah. God bless you.
You've been listening to the broadcast of Focus to Change Ministries. Please join us next Sunday from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock a.m. right here on WONA 95.1 The Farm.